Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. A year after devastating wildfires tore through parts of Southern California, many families are still rebuilding, not just their homes, but their sense of security. And as climate conditions continue to make fires more frequent and more intense, experts say it's time for all of us here in Southern California to think differently about wildfire preparedness. Today, we're talking about how to protect your home, your finances, and most importantly, your family, with practical steps you can take now before the next fire sparks. On the line to discuss is Robert Passmore, Department Vice President of Personal Lines at the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and Todd Lando, Battalion Chief and Wildfire Mitigation Specialist with the Central Marin Fire Department. Thank you for joining me.
Happy to be here.
This week, I've seen so many friends on social media who lost their homes in last year's fires reflecting on what this past year has been like, and a lot of them sound like they are still in the process of processing everything that's happened. What does the recovery actually look like right now?
Well, since the first hours after the fires ignited, insurers have been on the ground helping families navigate the claims and rebuilding process. We've had, over the last year, 42,000 claims filed, 94% of which have had some payments made, totaling $22.4 billion. That's money that's helped families restore or replace homes and belongings and help businesses get back on their feet as well. These kind of losses and the road to recovery is going to take time, but insurers remain committed to working with residents and businesses every step of the way.
You talk about learning to live with wildfire risk. What does that realistically mean for families in Southern California?
Learning to live with wildfire risk is just an acknowledgement that wildfires have been part of the environment in California, all parts of California, since long before people were here. Wildfires are going to continue to happen. They're going to become more and more intense, especially as we continue to build into wild places, as we see climate change reducing the moisture available to plants, as we see really an overgrowth of vegetation related to centuries now of fire suppression. All of these things are coming together to create conditions that force us to acknowledge that we're living in a place where wildfires occur, and we have to build our homes and maintain our homes in ways that are resistant to the fires that are inevitably going to occur.
For families in places like Riverside, Temecula, Murrieta, and Lake Elsinore, are we still considered high risk even if a neighborhood hasn't burned before?
You're probably considered an even higher risk if the neighborhood hasn't burned before. Just the fact when a home or a neighborhood burns, the rebuilding process in California rebuilds to a higher standard than what was built before. California's building code today requires new construction to meet the best and most stringent wildfire urban interface building standards in the nation. So frankly, if your neighborhood hasn't burned before, that's a sign that the fuels are much more dense and much more likely to burn in the future, and the homes are more vulnerable to the next wildfire.
How do things like the Santa Ana winds, drought conditions, and continued growth into foothill and canyon communities increase our vulnerability?
Well, those are three topics. When we look at wildfires, the things that drive them primarily are the fuels, the vegetation fuels, but also the buildings. And when we see a wildfire spread into the built environment, topography, the hills and canyons, that doesn't change over time. The topography really in our geologic scale is going to stay the same. And then the weather conditions, and weather conditions, especially the Santa Ana winds in Southern California, we call them Diablo winds in Northern California, are the most catastrophic and highest risk weather event we see related to wildfires. The fact of the matter is those communities that you just named are all built in terrain with vegetation and are subject to these weather conditions frequently, and they're among the highest risk places on earth, frankly, for wildfire.
We've seen fires jump freeways and move into suburban areas. What do families in regular neighborhoods need to know?
When you see a fire jump a freeway or spread rapidly like we're seeing, it's largely related, and this can be difficult to grasp when you're looking at it just, images and videos in the media. Those fires are primarily spreading through embers that are being carried ahead of the flaming front of the fire and starting what we call spot fires. sometimes, you know, a few feet, but oftentimes, you know, hundreds of feet and sometimes even miles ahead of the main body of the fire. It's those embers that put you at the greatest risk. It's the embers that tend to ignite homes and structures, not the big flames themselves. And, you know, one of the things that we've really learned over the last decade, when we've lost 135,000 structures in the Western U.S., is that it's these tiny embers landing on the walls. They strike the walls, they fall to the base of the outside walls of your home, and then they ignite things that are combustible, usually within the first 5 feet around that home. We call that area zone zero because that's where the embers land and that's where they ignite anything that's combustible and ultimately burn the house down.
A lot of people assume, I have insurance, so I'm fine. What are the biggest surprises or gaps families discover after a wildfire?
One of the things that they'll find out sometimes is that they had sort of let their policy kind of coast along and not, you know, reviewed it on a routine basis. Since COVID, the cost to rebuild a home has increased about 40%. That's because of inflation and increased labor and material costs. And that means your home is going to be more expensive to rebuild. So it's really important that homeowners do a financial checkup with their agent or their insurance company at least once a year. You want to make sure that your insurer has accurate information about your home, the square footage, other structures on the property, and especially any renovations that you may have done to make sure that you don't find yourself underinsured. The discussion with your agent should also look into optional coverages if you don't have them, such as inflation guard that increases your policy limits to protect against inflation, extended replacement cost coverage, and building code upgrade coverage. You heard Todd talk about the changes in building codes. Those kind of coverages can be important. You want to make sure that you don't find yourself underinsured if one of these situations happens to you.
With construction costs skyrocketing, how do homeowners know if they're underinsured?
Well, and that's why you have the discussion with your insurance company. There are different tools that are used to basically price out what it costs to rebuild your home. And you want to try to set your policy limits and your coverages accordingly. That's why it's important that you have that discussion with your insurer. Even if you've done, I'm currently in the process of doing some renovations on my home, and I am sharing the plans for that with my insurance company to make sure that I have the correct coverage.
We've heard stories about people losing coverage or seeing premiums skyrocket. What options do families have if that happens?
Well, if they're not able to find coverage through the voluntary market, there is the FAIR plan that's available. And unfortunately, a lot of people have their coverage through the FAIR plan now. There's also some coverage that's available through what's called a surplus lines market, but that's also very expensive. But the best thing that you can do is, number one, is make sure that you've got the coverage that you need and take the steps to prevent the possibility of having this kind of a loss through mitigation.
And what about renters? Do renters need wildfire coverage? And what does that look like?
Well, absolutely. A lot of people that rent don't think that they need, there are renters policies, and it basically covers all of your personal property that's inside the rental property. There's lots of stories from the fires about people who were renters and lost everything that they owned. And if they didn't have a renter's policy, then they were going to have to replace all that stuff on their own. Renter's insurance is usually relatively inexpensive, at least compared to homeowner's insurance, and often can be bundled with your auto insurance. So again, this goes back to having that financial checkup with your insurance agent, your insurance company at least once a year, to make sure that you have the coverages you need. And that includes for people that rent.
I'm speaking with Robert Passmore, Department Vice President of Personal Lines at the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and Todd Lando, Battalion Chief and Wildfire Mitigation Specialist with the Central Marin Fire Department. If someone wants to protect their home, what are the top three actions they should take this month?
Insurance-wise, I'd say have that discussion with your insurance agent. But Todd, do you want to talk about from there?
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is there are some really simple steps. I know Southern California is going to see Santa Ana winds this month. And the fact of the matter is we've seen some rain and the risk is dramatically lower this year. But the risk is never zero in California. The steps you should take should start really at the outside walls of your house. The first thing you should do is walk the perimeter of your home and look at what we call zone zero. That's the first 5 feet. That's the area that I described where embers accumulate when they blow in from a wildfire that's moving towards your home. That's where they will find something that can ignite. You need to look at that area within 5 feet of your home and remove anything that can burn. That includes things that you store there, like your recycling can full of, empty Amazon boxes, combustible jute fiber doormat at your front door puts you at higher risk than you think. Things like your patio furniture, if they're made from wood or have cushions on them, they all put you at risk if they're within, especially if they're within that 5-foot zone. But then look at your vegetation. You shouldn't have any vegetation that can ignite within 5 feet of the structure. Reducing the combustibility there is critical. So we want to see vegetation in your yard, but we want to see it moved 5 feet away from the walls and then very well maintained, irrigated properly for whatever plants you have. We want to see you remove any combustible mulch, things like wood chips or bark mulch that you might have within 5 feet of the structure should be moved away and replaced with a non-combustible surface. You can use things for mulch, but a gravel mulch, a decorative gravel, is dramatically more resistant. In fact, it's non-combustible, and it simply will not ignite from a fire, from embers, and it will not spread that fire to your home. Taking these steps at the first 5 feet is really where all homeowners should start, and you can do the initial pass in 5 minutes.
Wildfires don't just impact wealthy hillside communities. What should working families, seniors, and first-time homeowners know?
On the insurance perspective, all the same things apply. We want to make sure that you're having that financial review every year, looking at your coverages, whether you are a homeowner or a renter. It's important that you make sure that you have the right coverage in place. On an annual basis, you do that. And that goes for your auto insurance, too. Make sure you have the right coverages and make sure you've got a competitive price.
And what specifically should people be looking for in the fine print?
Well, number one, they should read their policies. Insurance policies are often referred to as the least read bestseller. Everybody has one, but very few people have actually read them. They can be somewhat a difficult read, but it's well worth it to make sure that you understand what your policy covers and what it doesn't cover. There may be optional coverages that you can add and things like that. Taking a read through your policy before you have that discussion, you can make a list of questions, and those are things you can talk about with your company or with your insurance agent.
I'm speaking with Robert Passmore, Department Vice President of Personal Lines at the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and Todd Lando, Battalion Chief and Wildfire Mitigation Specialist with the Central Marin Fire Department. What should families be thinking about besides property? Things like evacuation planning, documenting belongings, and protecting important paperwork.
I'll cover the documenting belongings. One thing that you can do that is very important is to create a home inventory. The easiest way to do that is to take your phone and video every room in your house, document the stuff that you have, film in the drawers, go out in the garage, all the stuff that's out there, particularly any large electronics, the appliances in your kitchen, computers, all that kind of stuff. And keep that video someplace safe, either up in the cloud, or if you have paper documentation, things like that, put it in a safety deposit box or with a trusted friend or neighbor who lives away from your neighborhood, or get one of those fireproof boxes. You want to make sure that you're going to have access to that kind of information. Should something happen, you're going to be really very glad that you had that stuff to be able to help with the claims process.
Couldn't agree more with that assessment. That said, wildfires are extraordinarily dangerous. We've seen more than 250 people lose their lives in the last decade in the Western U.S. to wildfires. Most of those people who died, the vast majority, died in their homes or outside of their homes, immediately outside of their homes. They did not die in their cars or while evacuating. So that tells us what we need to do is ensure that people are able to get out of their homes. The vast majority of those fatalities were elderly people with mobility issues or people who did not receive a notification early enough and did not understand that it was time to leave. You need to be prepared to leave whether or not you receive a notification. You need to leave at the first sign of danger or the first sign of feeling fear that something's wrong. Your sixth sense may be more accurate and faster than the notification systems, which it's difficult for the fire service and emergency services to keep up with where fires are when they're moving as rapidly as they do now in California. We need people to evacuate early. They need to evacuate in their cars, which is by far the safest place to evacuate. There's a whole urban legend mythology that's arising up about the danger of evacuating in cars. Hollywood and the media has contributed to this, and frankly, it's not true. Your car is the safest place for you to evacuate. It provides a tremendous amount of protection from heat and smoke and embers. When people who get in their cars survive wildfires, that's almost entirely true. We've only seen a very small handful of people die in their cars in the last decade in California, and it's almost always been people who drove off of the road into burning vegetation or who were on unpaved mountain roads heading in the wrong direction to evacuate. As I said, evacuation by car is by far the safest route for you to go during a wildfire. be prepared for that.
And how important is communication planning? Like, if phones go down, where do we meet?
Communication planning is critically important. You need to have a backup plan. You need to understand how the telephone service and notification systems in your particular community work. Each county in California has emergency notification systems. You need to be registered to receive notices at multiple locations and multiple numbers within that area. And you need to keep up with it. Make sure that your phones are prepared to receive messages and that you have a plan to communicate with family members if you lose your phone or if the cell systems and cellular networks go down, which they frequently do during wildfires.
And is there anything new in wildfire prevention or insurance support that people may not know about?
Yeah, on the insurance side, the most important thing you can do to make the claims process easier is that home inventory. In one of these situations, often there's not much left to look at. So the only way to know what you had is that home inventory. Also, I guess I would also include any plans or anything you have about the building of the home, or if you've done any renovations to the home. You know, people hang on to that stuff for a lot of reasons, but this is another reason, I guess, another packet of information that you can make sure you protect someplace. If you have to, take pictures of it and upload that to the cloud. Having that kind of information is really critical to the rebuilding and restoration process.
I can give you an answer on the wildfire prevention front, but we've learned a tremendous amount in the last decade. So yes, everything is new, frankly, when it comes to wildfire prevention. We've lost 135,000 homes since 2015 in the Western U.S. That's about 10 times the number of homes that burned in the entire previous century. The amount of data we've collected, the amount of knowledge we've collected in our understanding of how homes ignite and what's happening during this new era of wildfires is astronomical. And we have information today, specifically things like Zone Zero and building science, how to harden homes and how to evacuate safely from wildfires. Some of it related to technology, exciting new fronts like AI that can be applied to make your home and your community safer. But it's largely just simply related to the amount of data that we've collected. You need to speak to your local fire authority. You should be looking at resources like FireSafe Marin and ReadyForWildfire.org for the current up-to-date information that we've collected in the last decade.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm speaking with Robert Passmore, Department Vice President of Personal Lines at the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and Todd Lando, Battalion Chief and Wildfire Mitigation Specialist with the Central Marin Fire Department. If you could give one single message to families in Riverside and San Diego counties about wildfire risk in 2026, what would it be?
The message from the fire service would be that it's going to get worse. You've taken the brunt of it in those counties over the last decade, really over the last 50 years, and it's going to get worse. So everything, all of the lessons you've learned, the lessons that your neighbors have learned, some by paying with their homes and some with their lives, you need to take seriously. You need to prepare today. Our fire seasons are year-round in California, and we have the information. We have the technology, the building materials, and the ability to make your home resistant to the next wildfire. And if you don't take action today, you're going to be leaning on your insurance company, in the best case scenario. The worst case scenario, you lose family or friends.
And from an insurance standpoint, once again, I can't emphasize enough the importance of making sure you routinely review your insurance coverage to make sure that you don't find yourself underinsured.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. And thank you for all that you are doing to help keep our community safe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.